it's always very special to participate in something that really is the first in the history of the Roman Catholic Church. In nearly 2,000 years, there's almost nothing that hasn't occurred in the past. But today, September 1st, 2015, there is a novum in Catholic history. On August 10th, Pope Francis announced that following the invitation of Metropolitan John Zizioulas of Pergamum, the representative of Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople, at the introductory press conference for his encyclical on our care for our common home, Laudato Si, Pope Francis decided to inaugurate this day of prayer, a prayer specifically in gratitude to God for the gift of creation and in supplication for the spiritual resources necessary to take good care of our common home. Pope Francis decided to do it today because for the last 25 years, the Orthodox Christians have marked September 1st as a special day of prayer. So today, with both lungs, as St. John Paul II used to call the Church East and West, we turn to God with great gratitude for all that He's given us and ask Him for the grace to respond to His generosity with gratitude and action. In his letter announcing his decision to have this be a day of prayer, Pope Francis reiterated some of the thoughts he had mentioned in his recent encyclical, which on this day of prayer ought to be considered in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Pope Francis wrote, "As Christians, we wish to offer our contribution to overcoming the ecological crisis that humanity is living through. Therefore, first of all, we must draw from our rich spiritual heritage the reasons that feed our passion for the care of creation, always remembering that for believers in Jesus, the Word of God who became man for us, the life of the Spirit is not dissociated from the body or from nature, from world realities, but lived in and with them in communion with all that surrounds us." There's much right there. There's a rich spiritual heritage that goes back to the first pages of the first chapter of the book of the Bible that's meant to feed a passion for the care of creation. It's not enough for us as Christians just to think that the environment is an important issue. Our rich spiritual heritage is meant to make us as passionate for the gift of creation as it made Giovanni Bernardone in Assisi 800 years ago, as passionate as St. Francis of Assisi. And we see in the Word made flesh the lesson that the life of the Spirit is not dissociated from the body or from nature or from worldly realities, but lived in and with them. Jesus teaches us how when we're caring properly for the spiritual realities, we're caring properly for the worldly ones. Pope Francis goes on, "The ecological crisis therefore calls us to a profound spiritual conversion. Christians are called to an ecological conversion whereby the effects of their encounter with Jesus Christ become evident in their relationship with the world around them." In other words, it's not enough for someone who claims to be a believer of Jesus Christ not to have Christ-like attitudes toward the gift of God's world that He created and pronounced good. Thus, Pope Francis says, living our vocation to be protectors of God's handiwork is essential to a life of virtue. It's not an optional or a secondary aspect of our Christian experience. Many times that's the way many Christians look at it. We don't see a real vocation to be a faithful and good steward of the gift of creation. We think it's for the members of the Green Party. But it's members of the Green Party that often have distorted the relationship to creation. What God wants of us is that we recognize that we've received a calling directly from Him to be protectors of His handiwork. And that is essential if we're going to be virtuous. It's not an option. It's a primary aspect of our fidelity to the Lord. So Pope Francis went on that this annual World Day of Prayer for care of creation, and today is going to be the first. Still in 50 or 80 years, we're still going to be celebrating, and we will remember that we got this first one off to a prayerful start tonight. He says it offers individual believers and the whole community of believers a precious opportunity to renew our personal participation in this vocation as custodians of creation, raising to God our thanks for the marvelous works that He has entrusted to our care, invoking His help for the protection of creation and His mercy for the sins committed against the world in which we live. So first we thank God. Then we ask for His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. That's what this day is all about. And Pope Francis finished that letter by saying, the day deserves to be marked with the participation of the entire people of God, priests, men and women, religious and the lay faithful. And the Holy Father asked for initiatives to promote and illustrate this day so that this annual celebration will become a powerful moment of prayer, reflection, conversion, and the adoption of appropriate lifestyles. So tonight, let's delve into this connection. We do so in the context of the Holy Eucharist, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And in the Eucharist, as we remember every morning, we celebrate the union of God's creation, the union of our human work and sweat in God's grace. We pray in the offertory, "Blessed are You, Lord God of all creation, for through Your goodness we have received this bread. We have received this wine, fruit of the earth, fruit of the vine, in the work of human hands. It will become for us our spiritual food and our spiritual drink." So I like to say, God could have easily begun with grains and grapes, totally His gift, and then converted that. He could have begun with absolutely nothing but our hot ear. And just like He had said at the beginning of time, "Let there be light," and there was light, He could have said, "Let there be My body and blood," and it would happen. But instead, He gave us His gift, and He wanted us to collaborate with that gift and then represent that gift to Him. And then to take that offering and change it. Grains and grapes become bread and wine through our diligence. And that's the raw material that Jesus uses to give us Himself. And so the Holy Eucharist is an image of this union between God's material gifts and the power of God continually at work to take those gifts and transform them into something that brings us into communion with God and brings us into communion with others. We're now in the presence of the same Lord through whom all things were made. Whenever I think of this connection between creation and the spiritual life, I go back to St. John Paul II, whose thoughts were really my school. In 2002, he wrote three poems. It was late in his life, but he was still very much the poet at work. And the first of those three poems in the Roman triptych was entitled The Stream. I'm not going to quote the whole of it for you, But he tries to describe the whole process of human learning and human life by the image of a mountain stream. For those of us who have hiked in the Catskills or in the White Mountains or in the Green Mountains or in the Rockies or elsewhere, we've all seen that phenomenon of the stream running down and undulating all the way toward the bottom. He said human life in some ways in our approach to creation needs to be like that adventuresome person who sees that stream and wants to follow it all the way to the summit. And as we start to get to the summit, we recognize that that stream coming from the cap that melts starts to break into various tributaries. And as we start to follow it up, we come to its source. And we recognize that that source is God. And that everything in creation is basically a fingerprint, it's a footprint leading us backwards to that summit. And every truth, like one of those tributaries, the truths of science, the truth of human experience, the truth that we discover in Revelation, all leads back to that same source. And one of the great gifts of Revelation God has given us is that book of nature. The beauty of the created world and the beauty of the summit of that creation, which is man and woman, whom God pronounced very good. Often we Christians can become suspicious of environmental concerns. We bracket it, we push it to the side. Why? There's a history behind it. The older we are, the more we will have seen the manipulations of environmental concerns to try to push a pantheism from people who are substituting worship of Mother Earth for adoration of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Others can become suspicious because certain people have tried to use environmental issues as a means to promote policies against human flourishing, trying to use, for example, an appreciation for the environment as a means to limit legitimate economic activity. There have been a lot of articles about how those with communist sympathies, after they failed to win in their arguments, tried to come in through a backhanded door of trying to get everyone to appreciate the environment as a way to throw monkey wrenches in economic concerns. Others have grown suspicious over time because people seem to care more for spotted owls or dolphins or jungle animals or even insects than they seem to care for unborn human beings. We give more concern for lions killed in safaris than we do for massacred Christians. But that doesn't mean a legitimate concern for the environment is an option for Christians. We need to show the whole world how to take creation as a great gift of the Creator seriously. We need to show this healthy and necessary approach to God's gift of our common home. God has appointed us stewards of creation. The beginning of time before the fall, He gave us three great commands so that we might participate in His creative work. And in so doing, perfect the greatest part of His creation, which is us. Whenever we do anything, there are two impacts. In most languages other than English, we have this distinction linguistically. For example, in Latin is agere and facere. In Spanish is actuar and hacer. In French, there's agir et faire. You go through the other languages. One, facere, is to make something. The second, agere, is to make someone as we make something. That as we're making with human virtue a nice table that can be used, for example, for what I'm using it now, if we do it with virtue, we are also building up ourselves. We're making ourselves. And if we do it in a sloppy way, as if it doesn't matter, then we're also forming ourselves in a sloppy way. That's the reason why the great doctor of the church in the 4th century, St. Gregory of Nyssa, would say, in some sense, by our deeds, we are our own parents, because we give birth to our second nature by the way we do everything. We're making ourselves that there's an intransitive function as we carry out every transitive work. That as we carry out these three great commands that God gave us before the fall, to share in His continuous bringing out of creation, taking it from the seeds He planted into the full tree, as we increase and multiply, as we fill the earth and subdue it, and make computers and glass out of things like sand, and as we share in His dominion, He who is dominus, as we share in His dominion over all the creatures, all the land-bearing animals, the sea, the birds, etc., we do develop ourselves, and we grow in that image and likeness of God. But that image and likeness is meant to be in a certain type of communion, not only with God, but with all of creation. God wanted us to have that relationship. And one of the impacts of the fall was that that relationship was shattered. Pope Francis is trying to help us to rediscover and repropose to this world this authentic human, social, and environmental ecology. Earlier tonight in the Vatican, Pope Francis led a liturgy of the Word precisely to pray for what we're praying for in the presence of the Word made flesh. And he pondered a few texts there that are key for us to learn this proper approach as Christian disciples, this proper vocation we have to praise God for this great gift. First text that was considered of the four was the third chapter of the prophet Daniel. For those of us who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, this is the text we have on every major feast day. It's the text that we have on the first Sunday in every four-week cycle. And what do we do in that text? We praise God for all of creation. We beg all of creation to join us in that praise. Bless the Lord, we pray, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. Ye heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters above the heavens, you hosts of the Lord, sun and moon, stars of heaven, every shower and dew, cold and chill, frost and chill, ice and snow, nights and days, lightnings and clouds, light and darkness. Let us bless the Lord, praise and exalt Him above all forever. Mountains and hills, everything growing from the earth, you springs, seas and rivers, dolphins and all water creatures, birds of the air, wild beasts and tame ones, sons of men, Israel, priests of the Lord, spirits and souls of the just, servants of the Lord, bless Him, praise and exalt Him above all forever. All of creation sings this hymn of praise. The psalm that was sung tonight in St. Peter's Square was Psalm 148, which we prayed similarly. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Give praise in the heights. Praise Him, you angels. Praise Him, you hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, shining star. Praise Him, highest heavens, and so forth, as it goes through all the orders of creation. There is a symphony of praise to God. We had the reading from the book of Genesis about God creating us in the beginning and pronouncing all of creation good and with us very good. And then it finished by saying, the Lord God took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. To cultivate it. To make a cult through it, so that we might give God true worship and to care for it, and in caring for it to develop ourselves. And in the Gospel, we enter into Jesus' own relationship with creation that Pope Francis wrote about in his beautiful encyclical. Focuses on Jesus' words from the sermon on the mountain God had made, which he tells us, therefore, don't worry about your life, what you're to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're to wear. Is not life more than food, or the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap, they gather nothing into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? While you're anxious about your clothes, learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was arrayed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will He not so much more provide for you, O you of little faith? We see what Jesus is doing. He's doing exactly what we just talked about with St. John Paul II in that poem, The Stream. He's looking at all of creation and he's seeing how it is impregnated with the grandeur and the revelation of God, and how everything becomes, in essence, a real metaphor, a real analogy in life that helps us to understand our relationship with Him. If God cares for the sparrows and He cares for the lilies, so much more does He care for us. And in that care gives us vocations to care for the lilies and the sparrows, and most importantly, each other. When we look at Laudato Si, Pope Francis has given us a really profound approach to the whole gift of creation. There are two big chapters there that we can use to pray on this day and to nourish, the second and the sixth. Second, he lays out the theological principles. The sixth, he describes a proper spirituality that lives this ecological conversion that he calls to. We've only got 10 minutes left in this meditation, but I'd like to at least give you some of the topic sentences. So we're in the presence of the One who makes all of this real. Well, Francis says that when we study Genesis, we grasp that God has a bond with everyone in creation. That nothing's superfluous. Nothing's meant to be wasted. We need to take everything that came from God's creative noose, everything from God's plan, seriously, because each is meant to connect us to the Creator. Pope Francis says that our relationship to nature has changed after the fall. There's been a threefold rupture. A rupture with God, a rupture with all of nature, and a rupture within ourselves. But the whole work of Christ in redemption is to restore and bring those triple bonds to an even greater status than they had before. We pray on Christmas Day a prayer that's said by the priests as he puts the drop of water into the chalice full of wine at the offertory. O God, who wondrously created man and even more wondrously recreated him. That's what's happened in God's saving work, to restore that break. And one of the aspects of the redemption is that we begin to share Jesus' admiration, Jesus' love, Jesus' passion for that first creation. Because that's what he's come to restore. Pope Francis says all creatures have value. That our insistence that each human being is an image of God shouldn't make us overlook the fact, he says, that each creature has its own purpose. That the entire material universe speaks of God's love, his boundless affection for us. And therefore we have to have an integral ecology. To see that one indivisible book of nature and accept it and get to know the Lord better through the infinity of His creation. Pope Francis proposes, St. Francis is a model of how to see that an integral ecology calls for openness to categories that transcend the language of mathematics or biology. Take us to the heart of what it means to be human, that his response to the material world around us was so much more than an intellectual appreciation or an economic calculus. For him, each and every creature was a sister united to him by the bonds of affection. And that is why he felt called to care for all that exists. And why we're supposed to feel called to care for all that exists. Jesus, Pope Francis insists, shows us the proper approach to nature. The Holy Father says that in talking with his disciples, Jesus invited them to recognize the paternal relationship God has with all his creatures. With moving tenderness, Jesus reminded them that each of them is important in God's eyes, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies. And yet not one of them is forgotten before God, Jesus said. Look at the birds of the year. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus would say, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for the harvest. Pope Francis says that the Lord was able to invite others to be attentive to the beauty that there is in the world, because he himself was constantly in touch with nature, lending it an attention full of fondness and wonder. Jesus would compare his kingdom to a grain of mustard seed, and how it would become the greatest of all plants. Jesus had this joy-filled appreciation of nature, and Pope Francis wants that appreciation to become contagious for us. Let's turn to the aspects of an ecological spirituality. Pope Francis says that the first aspect is for us to grasp that God alone is Lord. It says a spirituality that forgets God as an all-powerful creator is just not acceptable. The best way to restore men and women to their rightful place, putting an end to their claim to absolute dominion over the earth, is to speak once more of the figure of a Father who creates and who alone owns the world. A lot of the destruction of the environment has happened precisely because we no longer see the environment in its relationship to the Creator. And that when we abuse creation, we're actually abusing one of God's greatest gifts. Since the second aspect is an education in a true integral ecology that restores us to a harmony within ourselves, with others, with nature, with other living creatures, and with God. And he says that this ecological education must take place in a variety of settings: school, in the family, in media, in catechesis, and elsewhere. To plant it like a seed within the young so that it might bear fruit throughout life. We can give God thanks. So many young people have rediscovered this love for nature, this great care for creation. We should fan those flames. We have to have a sober approach to creation, not as consumers trying to exhaust it for our own selfishness, but to recognize that less is more, so that we don't become addicted to stuff, which is much more easily the way by which we exploit it. Says that we need to have a sacramental vision, that we begin to see how God has absorbed nature into his own contact with us, who's absorbed water in baptism, oil from olives in the sacrament of confirmation and the anointing of priests, how he's absorbed bread and wine into the greatest sacrament of them all. This is a sign of the way he wishes to unite all of us toward him. With regard to the sacrament, Pope Francis highlights the importance of Sunday. It's a day in which we can appreciate creation and share in the fruits of recreation. That the Christian Sabbath is meant to be the first day of the new creation, when we're able to give God back his first fruits. We're supposed to have a Trinitarian, Marian, and eschatological ecology. First Trinitarian, that as Hopkins has grasped, that all of creation is charged with God's greatness, groaning in labor pains to give birth to to God's great love for us, that all of it's marked in a sense by a communion, a Marian ecology, that assumed into heaven, Mary has become the mother and the queen of all creation. She shows us how to have a proper care. That her most chaste spouse, Saint Joseph, was proclaimed custodian in the universal church, and he can show us how to have care for creation. That's what Pope Francis said in his inaugural homily as Pope, that Saint Joseph shows us how to be the custos, the guardian of all of God's gifts. And there needs to be this eschatological ecology as well. That we recognize what Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I make all things new. And he wishes to lead us through this earth to the new heavens and the new earth that flows from the making new of all that he's already given. There's not going to be brand new, but there are two words for new in Greek. One is brand new, the second is new and improved or fresh. And that's what it means to make all things new. It's going to bring out its real meaning. Today on this first Roman Catholic World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, we ponder the greatness of God giving us this gift and we turn to Him in prayer with Pope Francis, with our Orthodox brothers and sisters, with all those across the world. I'd like to finish with the prayer with which Pope Francis concluded Laudato Si, his encyclical. The prayer that Christians can pray to our triune God. Let us look at the eternal Son of the Father. Let us look at the one whom the Holy Spirit, overshadowing the priest earlier, has made present on the altar. And really mean these words that the Holy Father has put into our hearts and onto our lips. Father, we praise you with all your creatures. They came forth from your powerful hand. They are yours, filled with your presence and your tender love. Praise be to you, Son of God, Jesus. Through you all things were made. You were formed in the womb of Mary, our mother. You became part of this earth, and you gazed upon this world with human eyes. Today, you are alive in every creature in your risen glory. Praise be to you. Holy Spirit, by your light, you guide this world to the Father's love and accompany creation as it groans in travail. You also dwell in our hearts and inspire us to do what is good. Praise be to you. Triune Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wondrous community of infinite love, teach us to contemplate you in the beauty of the universe, for all things speak of you. Awaken our praise and thankfulness for every being you have made. Give us the grace to feel profoundly joined to everything that is. God of love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love for all the creatures of this earth, for not one of them is forgotten in your sight. Enlighten those who possess power and money, that they may avoid the sin of indifference, that they may love the common good, advance the weak, and care for this world in which we live. The poor of the earth are crying out, O Lord. Seize us with your power and your light. Help us to protect all of life, to prepare for a better future, for the coming of your kingdom of justice, peace, love, and beauty. Laudato si, Signore. Praise be to you. Amen.